just hold that thought, and let me invite you to stand up and say hello to somebody. Please introduce yourself if you don't know them, and say hello if you do.
Grace the Lord. Will you continue to worship as we affirm our faith together using the Apostles' Creed? And as we do, when we come to that place where we proclaim that we believe in the Holy Catholic Church, a universal church, may we do so, welcoming all into our presence. Join me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We have an opportunity now to go to God in prayer, and as we do, we want to remember those who are hospitalized in rehab or elsewhere. We have a few names that we have here. If you know of anybody who could use visitation, please don't hesitate to let our team know. You can call the front office at any time, and we'll make sure that we take care of that. We have a number of things that I wanted to share with you this morning. The first being that we want to keep Amy Flanagan's family in prayer. She was someone who grew up here at the church, and some of you may remember and know her. She died suddenly in California last week, and her funeral will be held here Saturday at 2:30. So please keep her friends and her family in your prayers. On a joyful note, many of you may have seen in the pastor's message or on Aaron's Facebook post, the good news that our family is celebrating, that Aaron had served 8.5 years in the Navy on subs, and he is now bridging that. He's sensed a call and been selected to be a Navy chaplain in the reserves, and we are very excited about this new journey for him and for us. I grew up in the military, so it's just going home for me. And in the next 4 to 6 weeks, as we're able to schedule it, we're still working on that, there will be a commissioning service here, which will be a form of a worship service, and all of you are invited to come out. As we get those details, we will share them with you, but we hope that you will surround our family in prayer and come and join us in that celebration when it occurs. The youth, along with Pastor Aaron and Steve, are actually in Atlanta right now. They gathered on Friday for a mystery trip and had no idea where they were going, but they have been there. They went to the Museum for Civil and Human Rights. They then walked the same path that Martin Luther King did down to his church, spent time there, and have been worshiping with Benton Hill United Methodist Church, an African American church, this morning. And so please keep them in prayer, not only for safe travel, but there will be seeds planted in their lives from this experience that will permeate everything that they do from here on out, that they may be instruments of peace and justice in their world. And I have some other good news to share with you. I know it's a lot this morning, but hang in there with me because this is amazing good news. Many of you know Andrew Mangan, who's our drummer. He has been our drummer for Sunlight for the last 5 years. And yes, we celebrate that. But last week when Catherine had extended the invitation to, or Aaron had extended the invitation, both of them, to consider being baptized if you never had been, Andrew decided that he did want to be baptized, and so he stayed for our 11 o'clock service and was baptized last week. Will you welcome him into our family of faith this morning? Yay! It still gives me goosebumps. Ah, I love it. Love it, love it. God is so good. God is so good. And we are very excited. Okay. We let him out of the cage every now and then, yeah. Okay, so with that, I think I shared all the news I was supposed to. Our prayer time is going to be focused this morning on the work of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but we will also have a time of silence for you to lift up those prayer concerns and joys that you have on your heart. And so let's go to God now in prayer. Lord, you alone created us and sustain us by your love and by your grace. From the moment we took our first breath, you have insisted that the addition of humanity is what makes creation very good. Yet for all the good that we have the capacity to bestow, we confess that we have misused our gifts and failed to do all the good that we can, let alone let your divine character be reflected through us in the world. Forgive us. We are grateful for those who have come before us or live among us, who have risen above the crowds to become symbols of hope and passionate voices of prophetic witness for the oppressed and the outcast. From Moses to Christ, to Gandhi, to Martin Luther King Jr. and beyond, thank you for their example that reminds us of your loving care for all. As we prepare to celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, we praise you for those who shaped his life with a belief that all souls have sacred worth and importance in your eyes, and the conviction that a spirit-led love and gentleness could turn violence and chaos into order and equality. We thank you for the dreams that filled his heart and continue to inspire us today, for his commitment to sacrifice that led him forward without regard for his own safety, and for his ultimate trust in you, that you would never abandon those who stand up for truth and righteousness in the world. We mourn the loss of his life, along with all those who have died in the course of seeking justice. May we honor their legacy by continuing the work you began in them until it is complete, until the day finally comes when the lion and the lamb lie down together, when children of all races and backgrounds play and grow together in harmony and trust, and when every life is valued in all of creation, given an opportunity to thrive. Teach us to love all women and men as our sisters and brothers, and to care as much about their welfare as we care about our own. Grant that heroes may continue to rise among us, pointing us towards moral clarity with their unremitting courage and passion for righteousness, so that your name and your ways may be honored in all the world. For all those whose lives are in harm's way pursuing such goals, we pray your blessings of protection upon them and upon their families. Grant them wisdom, courage, and peace. For all those whose lives have been impacted and their potential derailed due to injustice or prejudice of any kind, we pray for their healing and encouragement to keep pressing onward to become all that you created them to be. For all who are ill or need healing of any kind, we pray for their strength to be renewed so they may soar like the eagle and run and not grow weary along the path you have set before them. Let the Spirit of Christ be in us all. Teach us truth and not error, and love and not hate. Grant that we may be ready, like your servant Martin Luther King, to pay any price in service for your kingdom. We pray all these things to Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. As we continue to pray, let us sing the chorus of Grace Greater Than Our Sin again, allowing God's love to wash over us so that it can spill out through us. Sing together with us.
Grace that is greater.
that we respond to God is through our tithes and our offerings and our generosity. This morning I am grateful for the work of the Alachua County Coalition Against Human Trafficking, and we support them through our Mission Box. They are an organization that seeks to identify, rescue, and restore those who are victims of human trafficking. They are a wonderful example of the love and grace of Jesus Christ reaching out to all. So I encourage you to be generous as you're leaving in one of the Mission Boxes, and also through your tithes and your offerings. Let me invite you to bow your heads and pray with me. Oh, loving God, we are grateful for your presence in our lives. We ask that you would strengthen us to be able to love others and to love you in a way that you are calling us to do so. This morning we ask that you bless these gifts that we offer in response to your love and grace. May all that we do and all that we have be offered to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
Aren't you grateful for that group and for the way that they offer their gifts and lead us in worship each week? Several months ago, as we were preparing for worship, we decided that this weekend, MLK weekend, we would begin a worship series called Strength to Love. There's a book of writings by Martin Luther King Jr. that is called Strength to Love. It includes sermons with titles like Love in Action, Love Your Enemies, Paul's Letter to the American Church, The Pilgrimage to Nonviolence. And while we are not preaching about King's sermons, they will certainly inform what we do and share over these next few weeks. Reverend Cliff Patrick, one of our parish visitors, is also leading a group on a small group discussion on several of those sermons on Wednesday evenings. And if you would like to be a part of that, you can still be a part of that. Just come on Wednesday. As we were thinking about this series and planning for it, we were hoping that at a time such as this, a series that calls us to love would help us to love through our differences and across the barriers that divide us. We are hopeful that God will speak to you in this series, and as a church, as we focus on growing deeper, that this series in particular will help us to grow deeper in our relationships with one another. You know, Jesus calls us to love, and it takes incredible courage to be able to speak the love that Jesus modeled and live the love that Jesus embodied. And with every passing day in the news, this call to love seems more pertinent and more imperative. Often gaining the strength to love begins with being in relationship with one another, connecting with one another, getting to know one another, learning each other's stories. And so this morning we're going to look at the story of Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. You all know that story, if for no other reason than you sang the song when you were a child. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, right? So this morning we'll look at that story, and coincidentally, or perhaps not coincidentally, yesterday when our youth were had walked the city streets to Ebenezer Baptist Church, where MLK taught and preached, they arrived inside and sat down in the pews to hear over the speakers a sermon from Martin Luther King. It was a sermon on Zacchaeus. So I invite you to follow along with me as I read from the beginning of chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through town. A man there named Zacchaeus, a ruler among tax collectors, was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree so that he could see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to that spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down at once. I must stay in your home today." So Zacchaeus came down at once, happy to welcome Jesus. Everyone who saw this grumbled, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, I repay them four times as much." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this household, because he, too, is a son of Abraham, the human one, the Son of Man, came to save, to seek and save the lost. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you this morning to bow your heads and pray for me in sharing this sermon with you. And I will pray for you that God will speak the word that you need to hear into your hearts today. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Abraham Lincoln is attributed with this very simple and powerful quote. I do not like that man. I must get to know him. How many of us would say exactly the opposite? I do not like that man, and therefore I want to be with him as little as possible. I do not like that man, and I want to stay as far away as possible from him. Zacchaeus was that man in his community. He was not. He was small in stature. I kind of picture him like Danny DeVito. Really. He was a wealthy man. And in spite of the fact that typically the wealthy were respected and admired in Jewish community, Zacchaeus was disliked. He was wealthy because he was a tax collector. He was the chief of tax collectors. So he was the chief tax collector of other tax collectors, of other tax collectors, of other tax collectors. And as a result of that, the people were often overcharged to pad the pockets of the tax collectors. And so Zacchaeus was very much disliked because he took advantage of others. He was also disliked, even despised, because he was considered unclean. The tax collectors had to come in contact not only with Jewish people, but also with the Gentiles. And the Gentiles were considered unclean, and therefore so was anyone who came in contact with the Gentiles. It might be how people treated persons with AIDS 30 years ago. Or it might be how someone who is African American felt in the 1950s in the South, or perhaps even still feels sometimes today. The community didn't even know Zacchaeus, but they considered him a sinner. They ostracized him. And then one day, Jesus is traveling through Jericho. Zacchaeus has heard that he is coming, and he wants to be able to see him. But remember, he's Danny DeVito's size. And so he couldn't see on account of the crowd. But he notices a tree, a sycamore tree, that he can climb. And so he hikes up his robe, and he runs down to the tree, and he climbs the tree. Now, for one who is despised, this would subject him to even more ridicule because no well-respected grown man would run anywhere in public, nor would anyone climb a tree. But that did just that. And as he got up in the tree, oh my goodness, Jesus saw him. He saw him, and immediately Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today." And then almost as immediately as Jesus said that, the crowd began to grumble. That Jesus, he is going to the house of a sinner. They didn't even know Zacchaeus, but they branded him as a sinner. Jesus, on the other hand, says, "Today, salvation has come to your house because you are a son of Abraham." Zacchaeus receives salvation not because of anything he has done, but because he is a child of God. How often do we predetermine that someone or a particular type of people are sinners when we don't even know them? We already decide that we don't like a person or a particular type of people when we don't even know them. We join in, or even simply remain silent when we hear the murmuring of the crowd. "He's a rich tax collector. He's gay. He's a Muslim. She's undocumented. He's from..." What would it mean for us if we would get to know someone before we cast in judgment? That was certainly the way of Jesus, to get to know someone without casting judgment. He shared meals with people who were considered sinners over and over again. He spent time with those who were considered unclean and touched them. He even spent the night in the home of Zacchaeus. What would it look like for us to get to know someone without prejudging them? Years and years of social science have shown that personal contact with members of groups you are unfamiliar with is the most effective way to dispel prejudice. Most recently, a study by Stanford and Berkeley researchers demonstrated that as little as 10 minutes of a non-confrontational encounter with a person different from your background has lasting effect in breaking down bias. So I'm going to show you an experiment that did just that. This video was shared with a clergy group that Steve and I were a part of, the group that went together to Northern Ireland last fall. It's a group that for a year has been looking at what it means to resolve conflict, to be involved in peacemaking and bridge building. Now, first, a disclaimer. This is a commercial, a Heineken commercial. And in just a few short moments, it covers a variety of hot button topics. But I invite you to take a look and to think about what this means about building bridges and having the strength to love one another. Take a look.
I would describe my political views as the new right.
I say that I'm left.
Feminism today is man-hating.
I would describe myself as a feminist, 100%. don't believe that climate change exists.
We're not taking enough action on climate change.
I think it's about time these people got off the high horse and started looking for credible problems that actually exist.
It's absolutely critical that trans people have their own voice.
That's not right. You can't, you know, you're a man, be a man, or you're a female, be a female.
Women do need to remember that we need you to have our children.
Could I be friends with someone that says a woman's place is in the home?
Right, okay, well, I'm an expert at flat packs. If you have any trouble, just watch me.
So it looks like I've got your instructions here.
I think so. Let me help you.
Just that bit there. Describe what it is like to be you in 5 adjectives.
Okay. Frustrating.
Dedicated.
Opinionated.
Lucky.
Ambitious.
Offensive.
Solemn. I have ups and downs.
Strong.
I want to say attacked. Misunderstood.
Name 3 things you and I have in common.
We're both male, we're both confident, and we're both loudly spoken.
We know each other better than people who've known each other for 10 minutes should.
You seem quite ambitious and positive, and you've got this really, got a glow. Do you know what I'm saying? Your aura's pretty cool.
I'm sensing. Are you for military or something?
People have said that, but there is no
really?
There is no history. So are you then?
Ex-military?
Yeah. If you're ex-military, I'm very proud of you already.
Well.
So.
I grew up in a bit of a rough state. I've experienced homelessness. I've known what it's like to have absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm definitely most grateful just for life.
We've only just met, but I think you're the sort of person that would listen to me and we'd have a discussion rather than argue.
Yeah, you could hang out with, man.
Let's go. My chance.
For the sake.
You're right, mate.
Fitter than a look.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
So basically, I thought we just bought a bar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here you are. Each take a bottle and place it on its corresponding markings on the bar.
Attention. Please now stand to watch a short film.
Feminism today is definitely an excuse for misandry, man-hating.
If somebody said to me that climate change is destroying the world, then I'd say that is total piffle.
So transgender, it is very odd. We're not set up to understand or see things like that.
I am a daughter, a wife. I am transgender.
I feel like the battle for feminism definitely isn't done. The fight is never going to be over, if I'm honest with you.
You now have a choice. You may go, or you can stay and discuss your differences over a beer.
I'm only joking.
You're hungry for a second, Ed.
Well, I'm having a drink.
I'm having a drink.
Yeah.
I want to discuss.
Beer.
Yeah, beer and discuss.
Cheers.
At the end of the day, mate,
about reaching out to people, yeah.
And, you know, even if you wanted to convince people about your point, the productive thing to do would be to sit down and have a beer.
Engage.
I've been brought up in a way where everything's black and white, but life isn't black and white.
Yeah, I'm just me.
Yeah.
Smash the patriarchy.
I'll give you my mobile number, you give me yours.
Uh-huh.
And we'll keep in touch. I'd have to tell my girlfriend that I'll be texting another girl. She might be a bit upset with that, but I'll have to get round to her.
One thing's for sure, getting to know one another is the first step in breaking down barriers and in building bridges. And of one thing I am absolutely positive, and that is that each of these persons in this video are exactly the types of people with whom Jesus would be hanging out, sharing a meal, staying the night with, getting to know, and extending love and grace. The first letter to John says this, the first letter of John says this, "Who Whoever says, I am in the light, while hating a brother or sister, is still in the darkness. Whoever loves a brother or sister lives in the light. And in such a person, there is no excuse, there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates another believer is in the darkness, walks in the darkness, and does not know the way to go, because the darkness has brought on blindness. When I was in seminary, I did an internship at Trinity United Methodist Church. I have this thing with Trinities in downtown Atlanta. It was right across the street from the Capitol. My role for a semester was to serve in the soup kitchen and night shelter that was housed there in their basement. The first day as I drove in from the suburbs into downtown Atlanta, I was a little anxious about what that experience would be like. As I got there and parked on the side of the street, it was 5:30 in the afternoon, and already Atlanta, downtown Atlanta, looked like a ghost town, and there were no cars or people present. And yet, as I turned the corner and approached the basement door, there were a group of men standing there, all of them black, all of them homeless, all of them looking disheveled and dirty. And there I was, a 23-year-old female, looking more like 12. I felt intimidated, and I was even frightened. I approached the door, and they made a path, and I didn't speak to them, and they didn't speak to me, and I knocked on the door. And a staff person came and let me in, but told the men to stay outside because it wasn't quite time for the shelter to open. And they quickly oriented me to helping them finish the meal, and then let me know that the men would be seated, and I would serve them their meals and refill their drinks. And then after dinner, they would go to shower. And my responsibility each week would be to do their laundry. So, sure enough, shortly after dinner, the men disappeared and they came back in t-shirts and athletic shorts, and I went to work doing their laundry. Now, we were all together in one room, and they were watching TV and playing cards, and we weren't speaking to one another. It was a very uncomfortable situation. But then over the course of the next few weeks, I got to know them, and they got to know me, and we began to share stories, and I would sit with them and watch TV, and we would play cards, and after just a couple of weeks, I knew exactly which clothes belonged to which men. Treated me, or began to treat me, like a little sister. So two things didn't change over the course of that semester. One, each week I would serve them dinner and do their laundry. And each week, at the end of the evening, at about 10 o'clock, when I would walk out to my car, one of them would walk with me and open my door and put me in my car to make sure that I got in and drove away safely. When I finished that semester, my heart ached for these men, those 16 black men with whom I had become friends. We had gotten to know one another in spite of our differences and across any barriers. do today. Don't make judgments when you haven't learned someone's story. Don't cast aspersions when you haven't walked in someone else's shoes. Don't sit silently while someone else does so. Be careful not to make yourself the judge and the jury about whether someone is righteous enough or not. Leave that to Jesus and follow His example. First, simply start by calling somebody by their name. That's what Jesus did. He said, "Zacchaeus, you come down." Second, share a meal with someone. When was the last time that you invited someone to your home and prepared dinner for them and shared a meal with them, and they were of a different race or a different religion, or even had vastly different views on social or political issues? I challenge you to think right now of someone that you can invite to dinner, and to do so. And finally, guard your heart and your tongue. Pay attention to how you feel about others, and watch what you say about others, or even when you remain silent when someone else is saying something that betrays their bias or prejudice. We are all children of God, and we are called to love one another as we seek to follow Jesus. May God give us the strength to love. We pray with me. Come, Spirit, come. Our hearts control. Our spirits long to be made whole. Let inward love guide our every deed, because by this we worship and are freed. Amen.
Table is a table where everyone is invited. All of us with our different opinions and our own habits and hang-ups are welcome to come to this table because it is an intimate place. It is the table of Christ where He knows our story, and He knows the story of each and every person coming. And He says, "Come. I want to dine with you." Because He knows who we are, and He knows the capacity of who we can be. And this meal is a means of grace that can strengthen us to love like Christ loves. And so Christ took the bread, and He gave thanks to the Father. And He broke the bread and gave it to His disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And He took the cup, and He gave thanks to the Father, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Let's pray. God, pour out your Holy Spirit on each of us gathered here, and on this bread and on this juice, that it may be for us the body and blood of Christ that makes us the body of Christ in ministry with you and one another to all the world. Lord, use this meal to strengthen us to love beyond a love that we are capable on our own. Help us to experience that love anew this morning. Open our eyes where we have been blind. Free us where we have been bound. Enable us to see the sacred word and your image in every single human face. And to honor you by honoring their word. Forgive us where we have failed. Help us grow where we need to grow. And allow us the grace to put one foot in front of the other in ways that reveal your never-ending and unfailing love for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are going to come and serve with us to go ahead and come forward now. Everyone is welcome at the Lord's table. You don't have to be a member of our church or any church. You simply need to come and want to experience God's love and grace poured out into your life. And as you come forward, we'll invite you to begin at the front rows of your section, exit to the left, come forward, and receive a piece of the bread. You can cup your hands, and we'll place that bread in your hand, and you can dip that into the cup and eat it. You're then welcome to come and kneel and pray or return by the right side of your section to sing or just listen to what God has to say. God longs to meet us where we are, each and every one of us, and he refuses to give up on humanity. He says, "Come and become who I created you to be." If you need gluten-free, we have that on either side. Come, all is ready.
Watch and pray, find in me thine own, Lord. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white. Thank you. change the leper's heart and melt the heart of all. 'Cause Jesus paid it all to hear my own. Sin had left a crimson stain.
The debt for us to be one with you and one with each other, and so having tasted the goodness and the sweetness of all that you are, may that linger within our mouths and within our souls, enabling us to cry out, oh, praise the one who has paid the debt, to raise us to new life, and not just some of us, but all of us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Will you stand with us and sing that refrain? Oh, praise the one who has paid our debt, raising us to life. Sing with us.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt.
As you go out this morning, may you go out confident in the love and grace of Jesus Christ poured out